Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homewood Casino Resort, the player's place.
All right, we are halfway home on a Friday. Been a really fun show so far. Hopefully the last 2 hours are as good as the first. Always the challenge for the Ben and Woods program, and really most morning programs, I would guess. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, executive producer of the program. And Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Just went out into the hallway and worked. I wanted to film his new walk. And it seemed, the guy fixed his bat path entirely, Paulie. And now he's just hitting backspin doubles off the back wall of the cage.
It's impressive.
Off the back of the net, which is the dream.
It is the dream. Or even for a golfer, you go to the range, you gotta get a nasty slice.
Yep.
And you go out for like 5 minutes and like, oh, I figured this out. Yeah, it never works that way.
One little tweak. And
but
you
with
did
my
it.
Walk, it kind of worked that way.
So I just tweeted it out. Guy put his head down, got to work. Looks like a functioning member of society. Also, I added him trying to gritty per Kyle from Vista's request.
How'd that go?
It's better than you could have ever imagined. What a grinder you are. Ben Higgins SD. I mean, again, one thing he wanted to fix, got in the lab, figured it out. I wish our San Diego Padres would take note from you.
Now, I'm never going to be suave. I know this, but I can look more like a normal human being. There's ways to at least approach normal human being.
Normalcy. Yeah.
Wow, that is, I'm watching it in the stream. I look like a regular person walking.
Just a regular Joe.
How did I let it get so bad?
I just fixed it. You look normal. Completely.
Nah, that's not normal.
That's him trying to gritty.
Yeah, that was. And I said, no.
You got to go both arms
for the
at
gritty.
The same
that's what.
Time.
So here we go.
That's what, okay, there we go.
Better. Much better. My kids do it all the time. Just grit. They gritty everywhere they go. They just look at
while
me
saying,
and smile.
6'7".
Yeah,
6'7".
Yeah. I'm telling you. 6'7", I feel like he's losing a little steam.
Really? Already?
Yeah, I feel like it is. We were at football practice last night, and coach said something about 6'7", and only like three of the seven kids went 6'7".
Too many adults have moved on to
8'9". It's too late.
Yeah, you really, really killed it.
Thank you.
That's a real cocksure walk right there. As Moss 1083 says.
Ad cocksure.
But you knocked it out of the park, buddy.
It was the cock of the walk.
Yeah, the cock of the walk.
I've got to remind everybody, because I have not done so, it is not too late to get your name in for our biggest fan contest. We will have our announcement in 1 hour of the last biggest fan for this week. You also have 1 o'clock and 5:30 today. Your opportunity to qualify for our grand prize night in an Odyssey suite with 20 tickets. The fan staff catered by Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine for a game next season. Register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan if you'd like to hear your name called potentially later this morning.
Damn it, I said giddy in the chat, not gritty. It wouldn't let me say gritty, so now I've had a misspelling in my tweet. And there's no edit button. Figure it out. You can edit on Instagram. I posted the guy that did our Christmas cards is our pal Justice Parman, and he did a dynamite Christmas card for us this year. We did the Fight Club theme, so my beau is holding up the soap. It says Happy Holidays on it. Taylor's in the back behind him. Looks just like Ed Norton. And we did a Fight Club theme. And Justice did it, so I tagged the wrong Justice, left it up for like 2 hours, and then I had a buddy text me. He's like, who did your card? Who is this guy? And I went, oh my God, I tagged the wrong guy. But with Instagram, I could just go in, change the name, and it worked. With Twitter, X, now it's just going to say trying to giddy.
You can edit now.
I know you have to
I think you have to have a check mark.
Which I still refuse to do.
I know.
Which is dumb of me to not do that, because I would make money with my tweets from Dodger fans. The rage baiting of it is so easy. Like, I probably could have gotten a new car.
Viral videos of Ben walking.
Yeah.
You'd be making a fortune.
Damn it. Gritty. Obviously, I meant gritty. G-R-I-D-D-Y.
I am kind of giddy sometimes, though.
Yeah, you are.
Especially now that I know how to walk.
I think it's going to change the game for you, actually.
Before we do anything else, I'd like to wish a happy birthday to my mother-in-law, Marcia Littler. Happy birthday, mother-in-law.
Happy birthday, Marcia. My mom is named Marcia as well.
I know.
Yeah.
We have a lot of weird connections.
We really do. We do have a lot of connections. Our mothers look very similar. They could be sisters. It's actually quite weird. When I see your mom, it gives me a sense of like calm because she is, number one, so sweet, but she also looks a lot like my mom, which is very odd. So I think if you did a side-by-side.
My mom is a little more southern-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got a little southern.
Your mom has a little southern to her, though.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But my mom was actually born in San Diego.
And my mom was born in Los Angeles.
Much like yourself.
Right.
You're probably very happy for Katie Wu.
I am happy for Katie Wu. And you are, too.
Yeah, very happy. Very happy. We got a lot of feedback on the Katie Wu interview yesterday. Some people were like.
We always do.
That's also very true. A lot of creeps out there, for sure.
Some of you should be ashamed of
yourself. Some of you should really be ashamed of yourself.
Get it together, yeah, some of you.
Figure it out. Act like you
first time ever seeing a woman?
Act like you've been there before.
Good God.
My Lord. We had to like boot people from the chat yesterday. Perverts in there. It's like, hey, yeah, she's an attractive girl but who's very talented at what she does. Why don't you relax a little bit? Fawning over her.
She's here to talk baseball.
And she's fantastic at it.
Not to, you know.
Not to be
not
to be objectified.
Right, exactly.
For your...
She's not here to titillate. She is here to talk baseball.
Such a great word. Exactly.
She does have a very appealing and easy way about
very
her.
Very much. You're saying she's easy?
No, an easy way about her. She makes you comfortable when talking to her.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Very much so. She's always been that way. She's family on this program. So, we have people, don't ever have her on again. I'm like, all right, relax.
Settle down, man.
Settle down. You know? Again, I do think the way that she writes, she is not a cheerleader. And when you're in her position for the Athletic, she's not going to be paid to be a cheerleader. And I do think I'm going to get some good scoopage
from her. I will pull back the curtain and tell you that Dennis Lynn is not always the favorite person of the San Diego Padres.
100%.
Or how he covers the team for the Athletic, which means he's probably doing his job.
Not probably. He's absolutely.
In the right way.
Yeah. Absolutely doing his job the right way. So I do think.
Sometimes we're not the favorite people from the San Diego Padres.
That's true
every
as well.
Once in a while, you know. Try to have a good relationship with them, but they're not 100% happy with us all the time.
Well, I will say, I mean, they should be happy with us today because we are in full support of adding
Ty
Adcock.
Who is Joe Adcock as a person, though? I remember that name. American baseball player.
Joe Adcock.
He was.
Played for the Cardinals.
He was a manager and player for the Tigers.
Paulie!
I am on fire.
Man! Joe Adcock.
No, wait. Milwaukee Braves,
you already said it.
Actually.
You already said it.
No, it's the Milwaukee nope. Braves.
Big Joe Adcock.
Big M on his hat for Milwaukee.
All right.
Also played for the Cincinnati Reds, Cleveland Indians, and California Angels.
So not the, what did
not,
I say?
Not the Tigers, not the Cardinals.
Okay. Well, I thought he was.
Louisiana native, went to LSU in Baton Rouge.
There you go. Look at that. Another connection. Ty Adcock. We're very much in support of
Baton Rouge
of that.
Today.
A lot of Baton Rouge today. So, sorry about that. Oh, somebody on Reddit called us rage baiters. Rage baiters. For having our friend on that got a new gig. That doesn't make any sense
to
me.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Rage baiting would be having Dave Roberts on. That I could understand you get upset about.
Yeah.
But Pantone, whatever.
Yeah, like having the leader of Pantone 394 on, or 294, whatever it is. That's rage baiting, but we don't do that.
Because what's going to be the move when the season starts? We're going to have her on when those series happen.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely,
right?
She's going to come in studio.
Yeah, when they're in town, she'll be here, 100%.
They called you rage baiters when you were talking about who could potentially buy out the Padres. Rage baiters. When I read the text from my phone, how's that rage baiting?
Like who could buy the team?
Yeah,
like Joe Lacob.
I don't consider us that. There are plenty. You want to get rage baited and click baited to death? There's plenty of shows out there for you. Plenty of podcasts for you. That's not how we do our business.
We honestly sometimes feel bad that we don't do it more because it drives a lot of online content.
It drives traffic and content.
And we don't like doing it.
I don't like to do it. I cannot do it. That's not what we're about.
Does it accidentally happen sometimes?
Sure. But like the whole, like, well, I heard from a source that blah, blah, blah. Like we just try not to do that stuff. You know, we just try not to. That's just, it's been a directive of this program for a long time. So thank you for defending us, K-Laws Baseball, in the chat. Very much appreciated. But yeah, I mean, if you listen to the show any amount of time, you know that that's not the way that we operate.
I was actually talking about something similar to a buddy of mine who doesn't really know how radio or media in general works. And I was just kind of telling him, like, look, man, ultimately, I'm trying to just stay at peace with the idea that, unfortunately, people are going to hear what they're going to hear.
That's true.
And I can't control
it. Can't control it, man.
You see some of these comments, you're like, did you even listen?
Did you
even hear the words that Woods or Ben or me or whoever said? Like, I don't think you did.
Yeah.
Because if you did, there's no way you could possibly still think that.
I had a guy in our chat the other day said that I don't respect San Diego. I think that's one. Remember the guy that was coming after me because I wasn't born here, which is such an admirable skill to have again. And he said, respect San Diego. And I'm like, I don't know that I could possibly respect a place more. Like, I landed here 15 years ago in February and was like, yeah, never leaving here. And that one bugged me because I mean, I love this place. I extol its virtues. I'm actually okay if the team doesn't do what it's supposed to do, it's okay. The sun will rise literally here almost every day of the year. It's the greatest place on the planet. So that one kind of bummed me out a little bit, but
it's funny.
I know plenty of people that were born here that don't respect San Diego as much as I do.
And while I am proud that, you know, my dad was born here, his dad, his parents, there are very few fourth generation San Diegans, even though technically I wasn't born here.
Yeah, but my family stopped with them.
My family is from here for a long time. That really doesn't matter. What matters are your choices and, you know, what you do once you get here, as with everything. Doesn't matter where you were born, what the color of your skin is. Are you a good person? You make the good choices. And Woods is good San Diego through and through,
even though
you weren't born here.
Purple, great, great point. Who respects San Diego more, me or Chula Vista native Mario Lopez? I'll wait for your answer. I'll sit back.
But he was born here, though.
Yeah,
you just don't understand.
Okay, I get it. Who respects it more?
I'm going to go with Woods.
Me.
Yeah,
100%. 100%. So that, you know, every now and then a comment sneaks through and you look at it and you go, what? All right. And then you start to think, of course, if you're an overthinker, you're like, did I disrespect? No.
By the way, you can leave San Diego for whatever circumstances and still be a true loyal San Diegan. Adam Jones comes to mind.
Yeah.
He was talking about San Diego on social media this morning. Even though he doesn't live here anymore, he's in Barcelona. He's still like proud of San Diego, proud where he comes from.
Building a home here.
Still trying to
come back here and get through the red tape.
It's about a 5-year process.
It has been a while. What is his deal?
No idea.
Where has he been? This thing was supposed to be done. We were supposed to be playing golf with him once a week. Right. So I don't know what the hell's happening.
A long, slow process from last time we talked to him, which was a while ago now, about his house. He's like, dude, you know how long it takes to even get a meeting with somebody to get zoning approved or whatever.
It's true. And it's funny. Somebody in the chat just said, born here, but moved to the Midwest for a long time. I have a whole new respect for San Diego. That's the thing, is you have to have lived in other places. And I had this conversation the other day with my 7-year-old. We were driving home from baseball practice and we were talking about, you know, going away to college or whenever, you know, it's years away, but it'll be here before you know it. And he said, do you want me to stay here and go to college, Dad, so I can be close, or do you want me to go away? And I looked at him in the rearview mirror and I go, first of all, look around you. I said, see that? You can see the beach from here. I said, you have to realize this isn't normal. Like, this is not everybody's reality. And I said, for me, as much as I would miss you for 4 years, or if he's anything like me, for 7 years, when you go away to various colleges across the country, I want you to experience some new things so that you will appreciate where you come from, the incredible, but I think you need at some point in your life to live somewhere where there's four seasons, to appreciate it, to meet other perspectives and get other perspectives and people from other. He goes, all right, okay, I'll go to Chicago.
I never left, and I didn't appreciate it when I was a kid. I think that's part of just being a kid.
Yeah, it's taking it for granted.
It's all you know. But even though I never left, I still get a thrill. When I see a slice of the ocean, just
a little taste.
I'm driving, or I'm a hill, like, oh, I can see the ocean from here.
Imagine how I feel.
I always love that. I still always love, like, if you're on the fifth tee at Goat Hill Park, you can see a little corner
sliver
of the ocean right up there. I'm always like, look at the ocean. I always like to point it out.
Yeah, and you've been here your whole life.
I've been here my whole life.
And I just think that perspective, like, to get away for a while, you know, see, and listen, you may go there, fall in love, and never come home. That's the risk that you run. You know, that stuff happens all the time. But I just thought, man, like, this is so abnormal to be looking at this every single day.
It's almost like, you can't make it by rule or any societal norms, because everybody's on their own paths. But like every kid, whether you're college age and going to college or just college age and entering the workforce, moving out and trying something new is such an important, valuable tool.
You, like, I would have expected you, based on what you told me, Ben, about your youth, that you would have gone to state. Like, just, I'm staying home. I want to be in my cocoon, safe. Even going up to Pomona was a risk.
Something.
I mean, it's something.
It was as far from the ocean as you can be in Southern. At least it felt like it.
But I mean, again,
you're an hour and a half from the ocean.
Mommy and daddy aren't there to make you grilled cheese. Mama's not doing your laundry for you. You know, all of that stuff. I think it's so important for somebody's personal growth. So I told him, I go, dude, the day you leave for college, if it's not somewhere close, I go, you're going to have to pick me up off the floor. I said, but I'll also be extremely proud of you and your brother if you decide I'm going to go try this on my own and do it. And I said, it did wonders for me and the person that I am. I said, but, you know, you're going to make your own decisions and I'm going to support you either way. I said, but you have to realize this is not normal. This is not what most kids grow up.
KG the elephant dropping wisdom in the chat. Trying something new is important, unless it is heroin.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
It's a good rule to live by.
Great life advice, KG. Great life advice.
Great. Way to wrap that up with a nice bow, KG.
All right, we're going to come back and play a little Take on Woods. If you'd like to try to qualify for our trip to Las Vegas grand prize, play a little musical trivia against the champ here, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Play our game coming up next after a check of traffic with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I got a tweet that hurt me a little bit yesterday.
Oh.
When you posted the video of me walking, I think it was Hector said, he walks like a former fat person. And it hurt because it was kind of true. I think that was partly my problem. And now I've lost the weight. And I still walk like I used to, so I've had to train myself. But I lost the weight thanks to SDFatLoss.com. I wouldn't trade anything for that. It has changed my life. My back pain used to be so much worse. My knee pain was so much worse. You lose the weight, I feel so much better every single day. It's worth it. It's 2 months. It is a short time in your life, and you can lose so much weight in that time. Up to 10 to 20% of your body weight, up to a pound of fat per day, eating real foods, not shakes or bars. That made it doable for me, and it made it sustainable to keep the weight off for now 2.5 years going strong. You can be the next success story. Just sign up for a free consultation at sdfatloss.com. Find out how the program works from your counselor. They will support you every step of the way. And if you sign up before December 31st, take $400 off or more. Lowest prices of the year. You can start now. You can start after the holidays, at your schedule, at your convenience. But just do it and know that in 2026, you're going to be a new you, feeling better than you have in years. Just like me, so many Tier 1s have gone through the program, lost thousands of pounds in San Diego. You can be next. Go to SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Getting more winter meetings preview content. Jeff Passan has a piece out about who could be the potential signings next week. And you just saw a little nugget from Mark Feinsand, correct?
It was from a Tier 1, but it said Feinsand says that the Padres are still in the mix on Michael King. So,
all right, still talking?
I'd love to get him back.
Not surprised that the Padres would continue as long as possible down the road, the Michael King road.
Yeah.
Now, they may not ultimately be able to afford him, but I'm glad they're still talking, according to Mark Feinsand.
Hi, this is Michael King.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Come back.
Let's play today's game. It's time for a little Take on Woods. Take on Woods, brought to you by Bay Alarm, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you. And we got the king. Rex is our contestant today. Good morning, Rex.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm good. That's what your name means in Latin. King. Rex.
I know.
All right. He knows. He knows what his name means. All right. Here's how the game works.
You want to explain more about his name?
Five questions.
It's spelled R-E-X.
I was getting, really, for everybody else, that was just a reference, just trying to explain that. All right. Five questions of musical trivia. If you beat or tie Woods, we will put you on our grand prize drawing trip for two to the Park MGM in Las Vegas. We're going to throw in tickets to New Kids on the Block, their residency coming to the Dolby Live at Park MGM next year, and a $100 gas card. How does that sound, Rex?
Sounds good.
All right, let's do this. You get to pick the category while Woods sits in the dark outside the studio. Your choices are A Bundle of Joy. Those are all 2-second songs, including the word joy. We've got the Un-Cola. Those are 5 1-word song titles that begin with un. And we have Extra Sweet. Is it Extra Sweet? If you take that one, it'll also be all 2-second songs.
Is it Extra Sweet?
Including the word sweet. So, Bundle of Joy, the Un-Cola, or Extra Sweet. Rex, what would you like to play?
Let's try the Un-Cola.
All right. No one's going with these 2-second song categories. Again, 5 questions. Everything begins with un. That was, by the way, the tagline for 7-Up was the Un-Cola. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. If you don't know one, say pass. We will come back to it at the end. You'll have, of course, 60 seconds. First question is the 2-second song. You need to give me the song title and the artist to score that point. Rex, are you ready to play?
Let's do it.
All right. Paul, you good?
Just about, yes.
All righty. Let's put 60 seconds on the clock. The category is called the Un-Cola. Rex, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Pass.
A top 10 hit in 1990 by British band EMF. Which song uses samples of comedian Andrew Dice Clay's Correct. Natalie Cole released which 1991 hit that was a virtual duet?
Unforgettable.
Correct. Rob Thomas sings I'm Not Crazy, I'm Just a Little Bit What? In a 2003 hit.
Unwell.
Correct. Which 1994 promotional single was only a minor hit at the time for Stone Temple Pilots but endures today and remained a regular song during their live concerts? All right, go back to our 2-second song.
Pass.
All right, back to which 1994 promotional single was only a minor hit at the time for Stone Temple Pilots, but endures today, remained a regular song during their live concerts. Running out of time. Oh, we got 3. We got the middle 3. Unbelievable, Unforgettable, and Unwell. The 2-second song was Unchained by Van Halen. And Unglued is Stone Temple Pilots. I don't know. Feels like a 4-3 or a 5-3. We'll see. All right, Rex's score is locked in. Woods does this without knowing the category. Let's put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Rex.
Oh, yeah, that's Van Halen, Unchained.
Correct. A top 10 hit in 1990 by British band EMF. Which song uses samples of comedian Andrew Dice Clay's signature line, Oh!
Unbelievable.
Correct. Natalie Cole released which 1991?
Unforgettable.
Correct. Rob Thomas sings I'm Not Crazy, I'm Just a Little Bit
Unwell.
Correct. Which 1994 promotional single was only a minor hit at the time for Stone Temple Pilots, but endures...
Unglued.
Oh, too good today, Rex. He was too good today. In the category, the Un-Cola.
Love it.
He got 3. Did well.
That's good.
Not good enough
not
today
quite.
Against the champ. Good job this week. You won every game. Only our real or fake yesterday provided a qualifier for the grand prize. 2 weeks to go.
Yeah. Took him to the woodshed. Sorry about it.
Guys. Yeah.
Not going to...
I didn't know. I did not know that that was Dice Man until did the research for
Hickory,
the category.
Dickory.
Did everybody know that that was Andrew Dice Clay other than me?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I just assumed it was someone in the band was doing that.
Sometimes I went back and watched some Dice recently. I remember loving it in like 7th grade, and I watched it as a 50-year-old, and I went, Didn't hold the same packed the same punch as,
oh!
as it did when I was a kid. I mean, in seventh grade, it was the height of comedy.
Like, yes,
the,
but when you were in seventh height. Grade, you hadn't really heard such things.
No,
before.
I'd never heard anything like that, ever.
Now you say such now things I say yourself, such things. So when oh! he says it, it's not
there he is.
Nearly as exciting.
Yeah, he's funny as hell, but it was just weird. Like I also watched recently, American Pie was on. And I stopped down on a Sunday afternoon. The kids were playing, and I went, oh, check this out. It's been a minute since I watched American Pie. I watched it for about 20 minutes. I go, this is a colossal, colossal piece of garbage. Like, colossally bad. The acting was terrible. Terrible. I mean, horrific. And I went, man, to think how much I loved this movie when it came out. It sucks getting older. Really does, because in my opinion, it didn't hold up that well.
Talking about a different movie, I knew it wasn't a good movie
at the time
when you watched it,
yeah.
But you still fell, just you were enthralled by it. I was 13 years old when Napoleon Dynamite came
out. Yeah,
and same. it was kind of intentionally, it was so bad that you're like, no, actually, I can actually see like there's some artistic genius to this, how low budget and how bad it was. I don't even know. I haven't seen that movie in 5-10 years. I don't know if it still holds up, but good God, like every 12, 13-year-old, that was the greatest movie ever when it came out.
Yeah.
Well, about American Pie, quickly. How surprising is it? When that came out, it was such a monumental hit at the time.
Yes, huge.
That you thought all those young actors would probably go on to be superstars.
Superstars.
Not really any of them did. Well, what's Jason Biggs done lately? Sean Williams Scott.
He's still
They're all relevant and they're working. But by far, the one that has become the biggest star of everyone in that movie, Jennifer Coolidge, Stifler's mom.
Stifler's mom. Yeah, yeah, massive.
Eugene Levy.
He was already big, but she's gone on to have, I mean, you can't turn your head without seeing Jennifer Coolidge
was that
somewhere.
Her, like, she's on the map now?
Must have done some stuff before that, but yeah. I don't remember in anything before
she
American
was
Pie.
So good in Best in Show. Oh, my God. She was brilliant in that. She's great in White Lotus. I mean, phenomenal in White Lotus. The commercials bug me a little bit, but...
They bug me a lot of it.
Bug me a lot of bit as well. So
talk about typecasting.
Yeah, a little bit.
She's locked in. She's not. Is she really like that?
Probably not. I don't know. But yeah, it was
crap.
Tough. Yeah,
crap.
It was a tough one. It was a tough one. It really was bad. This is a colossal turd. It really is.
I'll still watch it.
You have a little football talk in you. Did you hear what Richard Sherman had to say about George Pickens last night?
No, I did not.
He went off.
It was not.
I would like to hear the audio.
Kind. We'll find that for you and talk about Cowboys Lions, an important game last night. When we come back with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam. Last chance this week, though, to remind everybody, if you do not have your estate documents in order, then you cannot look at all your family members this holiday, your spouse, your kids, and think, oh, yeah, they're good, they're taken care of.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. You might be leaving him in a world of hurt. You don't want to do that. You want the peace of mind of knowing it's all taken care of. Woods?
That's exactly right. Just go to trustandwill.com. Use the code FAN when you check out for 20% off of your trust or will. The trust is really paramount, right? You want to make sure that your family isn't dragged into probate court. It's lengthy. It's expensive. It's just not a process anybody wants to go through. So you can make sure that that doesn't happen after you're gone. Going to trustandwill.com. Use the code FAN when you check out.
Probate court, lengthy and expensive. Trust and Will, not so much. Right. You can do it quickly from the ease of your own home. No lawyer's office, no big fees, just one low fee. And again, if you use the code FAN, you're going to get 20% off that fee when you get your will or trust by going to trustandwill.com. That's trustandwill.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Just talking movies, did you see the breaking news this morning that Netflix is buying Discovery Warner Brothers Studios, which includes HBO Max?
I saw that. I didn't open the link. I didn't see what all that entails.
Yeah, so Netflix is going to own HBO Max now, which everybody's panicking about. I'm sure it just means you're going to get now two for one low price instead of...
Of course!
sure.
Yeah. Yes.
This is gonna save everybody
a fortune,
tons of money on their streaming services. When you buy Netflix, they're just gonna throw in HBO Max for free now. I'm sure that's exactly how it's gonna work.
Totally.
They're not gonna double the price of both. No way.
No chance.
No. They've always got the best interest of the consumer in mind.
Of course. Keep an eye out. They're probably gonna write you all checks and just be like, hey, you know what?
We're doing so well.
Too much. Here
we
you
thought
go.
We'd just pay our customers now. This is awesome. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by IHOP, introducing the IHOP Value Menu, where all your breakfast faves are just $6 each every day. Where else can you get a big, filling, sit-down breakfast for only $6? Go to your happy plates with a $6 IHOP Value Menu available every day at IHOP, $7 in some locations. Now, we're going to talk about what Richard Sherman said about George Pickens, but I think the real question here is, what happens when you have a superstar player? He's clearly very, very good at what he does.
Yes.
But doesn't always deliver the effort you'd like to see.
The old,
but he's still better than most other people on the field.
The old checkout bit.
But he's not always 100% with you. What do you do about that? We'll talk about it after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danik.
Been kind of a busy morning here. We're not quite over it yet. Northbound 5 at E Street, accident involving several vehicles, including a motorcycle. It's been pushed over to the right shoulder. Also, westbound King Freeway near College, accident over to the right shoulder. Now, westbound 8, jumping into the act right before Marina Boulevard. This is always a tricky spot. Got an accident involving several vehicles. Not showing if lanes are blocked, but we are showing some debris in the roadway. And tow truck rolling up to join that party. Northbound 125 before Lemon. Accident blocking the slow lane. And looks like they may have gotten that stall big rig off of Fletcher Parkway off ramp. Northbound 125. Yay! I'm Kelly Danik with Ben and Wood, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Now, let me first say, I don't think George Pickens was the reason the Cowboys lost. He didn't give up 44 points.
Yeah, defense was bad.
The defense was bad. But there were definitely some plays where you could see George Pickens did not put out maybe the best effort. There was the interception that basically just ripped like right away from him. There was a deep ball where it looked like he had a step on everybody and just let it fall surprisingly close to his feet. Like, you really want me to reach for this thing? Sort of.
Bro, I watched it 50 times. His arms stayed by his side. Like, you're not going to catch a football. I mean, it's not a bad throw. It's not a bad throw.
And
I don't get it.
After the game on the Amazon Prime postgame show, former DB Richard Sherman unloaded on George Pickens of the Dallas Cowboys after the 44-30 win for the Lions.
George Pickens throughout the game, especially late in the game, just looked uninterested in playing football. You know, and that's what you can't have. If you're going to be a superstar, if you want to be the best receiver in the National Football League, you can never be disengaged. It doesn't matter if the game's going your way or not going your way. You can't just disappear in these games or else you're not going to have impact. And just right here, cruising routes. You're the guy.
Yeah.
You're the guy. CeeDee Lamb is not in this game. He's out. And you get intercepted on your slant routes. And you can't be the guy and half-ass it. I'm sorry. That's just, you can't, it's unacceptable. And if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're looking at him and you're looking to pay him big time receiver money, $40 million, you got to look at this tape and say, hey, is this a guy we can trust paying $40 million to show up regardless of circumstance? I don't know.
Credit to Richard Sherman for being unafraid to say what many commentators will vaguely kind of allude to.
You're not going to hear people on a post-game studio setup like that right after a game call a player and say half-assed.
Yeah, for sure. And you saw there was a route he ran that was like, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. Ball came to him, by the way. It wasn't, you know, hey, they're going to run to the right. I'm on the left side, so I'm going to, you know, do my kind of half-assed curl route. No, the ball was coming to him, and he was like, boom, ba-dum, off the line. Da-dum, 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 da-dum. Turns around. Limply, languidly goes after the
short
ball.
Short arm.
It's not what you want to see if you're
out of reach for that thing.
Yeah, it's out of my reach. What do you mean?
Now, the reality, I think, is also true. George Pickens has had a really good season and is a really good wide receiver when he wants to be. But there's no way that the Pittsburgh Steelers would not have given up on him.
Correct.
If they didn't know that this was part of it.
Part of the comes with the package, maybe.
And they decided, and by the way, the Steelers could very much use a George Pickens. They're tied for first place. They don't have that kind of weapon necessarily that, you know, that he is. And they decided they were better off without him.
Well, and he made the point, too. CeeDee Lamb goes down, I think, a concussion. So they
yeah, had to come out of the game.
Come out of the game. So that means you're now number one, you know?
And now he was drawing a ton of double teams.
Yep.
And he, after the game, he was asked about it. And he said, well, you know, it wasn't great for me what the Lions were doing, but it was opening up other people. You know, I was doing my part in that I was drawing a bunch of coverage and, you know, basically implying, why wasn't Dak Prescott throwing to the other guys who were open? Why is he throwing to me when I got two guys on me? What am I supposed to do over here?
Yeah, a little defeatist attitude, man.
That's... But, you know, Cowboys fans, I think, have the right to be a little upset because that was a must-win game, really, for both teams.
Yeah.
We talked about it yesterday that the winner was going to have around or above a 50% chance of making the playoffs, according to the, you know, the stat projections. The loser was going to be down around 10 to 15%. I think the Cowboys are down like 7 or 8% to make the playoffs after the loss. Their season is almost over unless they run the table and get some help. So you would like to think your players in a game like that are going to show some desperation, a little more urgency and effort than what the Cowboys got from George Pickens.
Well, and again, you know, you did make the point, the defense could not stop Jahmyr Gibbs last night. He's unbelievable. I just saw a stat from him. So this is insane. Wrap your head around this. Through 45 career games, Barry Sanders averaged 5 yards a carry. Jahmyr Gibbs, 5.5 yards a carry.
Really?
Jerry Rice, 43 total TDs. Jahmyr Gibbs, 47 total TDs. Emmitt Smith, 4,600 in total yards. 4,601 total yards. Jahmyr Gibbs, 4,726 total yards. Buried in Detroit. Don't hear a ton about him, but what a superstar he is, man, in 45 games.
So the Lions do still have a pathway to the postseason.
Yep.
In fact, slightly above 50% chance. They absolutely needed that win. They got it. They're still going to need to keep winning. They're still going to need some help along the way. They're currently 8th in the NFC at 8-5 behind, you know, you'd be in the top 7 to make the playoffs. The 49ers, the Packers, the Seahawks are all ahead of them for wild card spots. But if they do keep winning, there should be a pathway for Detroit to get in now at the end of the season.
Yeah, man. That was the team I was riding with at the beginning of the year and did not have a good stretch there. But that was a much, much, much needed win last night at home.
And the Cowboys, I think ultimately we knew, were not a playoff team. They had a good stretch there in the middle of the season, but they played too poorly at the beginning and ultimately have too big of a hill to climb now to think that they might get into the playoffs. What would be the point? If they got there, Dak Prescott's had a good, healthy bounce-back season. He's a good quarterback. He is. They just don't have enough around him right now to really be considered a major contender.
Well, and especially when those guys aren't giving max effort. Or much effort at all.
But what? So philosophically, though, what do you do if you have a player? You know, they're one of the most talented people on the field, on the court, on the diamond. But there is sometimes an effort issue. Is it? You go. You know what? I'll take what I can get because it's better than what I get. I can get Mr. Hustle gives 110% every time,
and he's
but
terrible.
Ultimately he's just not as good as this guy given 75%.
Well, I mean, you're talking.
What do you do about that?
You're talking
if you're
to the
a
wrong,
coach.
You're talking to the wrong person because, as a, you know, the highest level I coach is Little League baseball. I like the effort. You know, the one thing I tell my kids all the time is I don't care even a little bit about your results. Not even a little. I don't care. You strike out 4 times. I don't care. What I need from you is attitude. And effort. And those are the only things you can really control, right? You can't control if you're going to get a pitch to hit or if you roll it over. I mean, you can't control it, but I'm not going to be mad at you for rolling over a belt-high fastball. It happens. It's baseball. So what I'm looking for from every kid that I coach is, are you a good teammate? Do you have a good attitude? And do you give effort? If you're out there throwing dirt up in the middle of the inning, that's not a good effort or attitude. So I don't want you out in the field. Right? Like, that's, for me, that's where it starts and stops. So, when you're talking about professionals, though.
I think we're talking, like, at least high school.
You're talking about
competition, and
dude,
you're there to win.
In high school, you half-ass some stuff, you're out. You're done. You're on the bench.
I know what you're saying. In a long season, whether it's 17 football games or 162 baseball games, if you see that, you know what, I can kill myself on this play, and I'm double covered, and it's not going to make a difference. Maybe I should save myself for the next play. I could sprint to first base on this routine grounder to second, but I got to play 162 of these things.
Yep.
I'm going to try to make what I think is the best decision for me, hold a little in reserve, so that when I do get that single coverage, I've got something left in the tank in the fourth quarter. Is that not a legitimate calculation that you can make as a wide receiver? I'm not saying that's what George Pickens was doing. But can you say, I don't need to go as hard on this play. It's not designed for me. Yeah, it may end up coming to me, but I got two guys and a safety on top.
One was single coverage.
One of them was.
One of them was single coverage, and he ran the slowest comeback route you've ever seen. DB jumps in at the last second, knocks it away. Listen, man, when there's one game a week, that's different to me. There's one game a week. You got to go kind of balls out, right? Like, if you're a football player, you got one chance a week. If there was one baseball game a week, I would be like, I need to see you guys busting it down the line every time. But
and
I
know if it's a playoff game, same 100%, thing.
100%, 100%, man. In a course of a, and again, you're talking about professionals, right? So it does.
George Pickens is a professional.
No question.
As well.
No question. And I think a professional needs to know when that time is. And that's okay. Like, there's no player on earth that gives max effort 100% of the time. None.
I think that's true.
You know, none. Because they have to know. I've got to mitigate. I've got to regulate. But, you know, when you're talking about kids and stuff, yeah, man, you need to go balls out all the time. Run into first, whatever it is. Once you're making money in the big leagues and you are a professional, kind of, I'm going to put a lot of trust into those guys that have been doing it for decades of, like, they know when they need to turn it on and they know when they don't need to. And if they didn't turn it on in a spot they should have, I will let them know, hey, you probably should have gassed it up there a little bit, right?
That's fair. That's fair. All right, final hour of Ben and Woods coming up. Our biggest fan announcement will kick things off. Paulie, are we going to do the most mispronounced words of the year?
We are.
In our Rhino report.
I'm going to put you guys, a little challenge for you guys.
I read a teleprompter for a living. I should be able to do this.
Yeah, you should be able to crush this.
We will come back. More Ben and Woods next on The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.